This is RSB and the Update, episode 274, recorded Friday, September 17th, 2010. IRL is important, to be honest. Hello, everybody. Welcome to RSB and the Update. I am here with Paul this week because yes. Chief Snake appears to be missing in action somewhere, but Paul is going to do his best to fill in for that, even though he might be a little less clean than Chief Snake. We'll make up for that next week.
Righto.
So
I'll try to keep it semi-clean.
Yes, please do, because you know it's a lot nicer when that's the case, because I don't have much editing to do.
It'll be innuendo. No worries.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. It's nice not having that kind of thing that often anymore. The last episode I majorly had to edit was the one that you and Kola and Chief and I were on. I forget when that was. In August, sometimes. And then the major edit before that one was when Brad was on back in June. So I've had a nice. Nice break since Brad left of not having to do much editing in respect to bleeping things and whatnot, you know, so.
Oh, no bleeping.
Yes.
That's no fun.
So this week, it was a somewhat of a minor update on the scheme of things in terms of adding content to the game. It's something you're going to call Z-buffering, but I'm going to call it Z-buffering, just because Z-buffering is more appropriate. So. This is the update that was supposed to come out last month with the Dungeoneering update, but couldn't because it was having major problems. So it's here now. And it is a graphical standard in terms of 3D modeling compared to what they were doing before. I think we've discussed this before, but I'll just go over briefly what this is. Previously, the RuneScape engine would paint objects so that the further ones out are drawn first. So let's say you're standing somewhere and there's a tree. That tree will be drawn first, but then if there's, say, an NPC in front of that tree, that will be drawn after it. So it, in effect, draws what's furthest away from you, then works its way in. Now, with Z-buffering, this gives them the ability to just draw everything and then have it all placed where it's supposed to be, given the coordinates of the coordinate system of the game. So it's an industry standard, and as they say, it has increased the speed of their OpenGL and DirectX rendering engines, so that's always good. And they say people who are PKing and whatnot will find a benefit because they'll be able to see further. Like, let's say they're on a hill, they'll be able to see what would be down below them compared to how it would be done before, because just the way Z-buffering works.
That's interesting. I didn't remember reading that part. That's could be useful.
Yeah, that was back in the development. Or no, it wasn't a development blog. I don't know. But aside from this, there's really not much to mention on this. Maybe we should mention that now they're able to model and animate players outside of the model box. So, example they gave this week was the skill capes, for instance. They're now both the same length on the male and female models. I don't know if you notice that.
Right. I'm not a female, so don't care. Don't. I'm not a female in real life or in game. I don't pretend to be either. Although some people.
Are you sure?
Tend to do that. Oh, I'm quite positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they also say that people using software safe mode should see less in the way of clipping where objects and locations in the world cut through each other incorrectly. So.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Fix, not to see.
Yeah,
oh, of course. Be hilarious to see. Yeah.
Well, no, it just looks like garbage if you see that, you know. So.
Well, I think you were talking. It was like last week. I just caught up listening to like last month's.
Well, that's good. You still listen.
Yeah, I had free time, so I was like, well, I just stick it on 2x, and it's good. But yeah, you were talking about you had a hat. Or something like that.
Yeah,
your hair was sticking through.
Yeah, that's still present this week. Where?
Oh, really?
Where the hair goes through the pith helmet, but I'm assuming that's something relating to the pith helmet. So, It actually looks not too bad in the chat head. It actually looks like an extension of the hat, so I'm not too worried about them fixing that. So, did you notice any speed increases with this update?
I've been on for like 20 minutes total since this update, so it seemed like it was running fine, but I didn't really notice any differences between that and normal.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't notice any differences either, but maybe because I didn't go to the GE at a very busy time. But I know in talking with Chief, the update made the Linux version actually work very nicely at the Grand Exchange. It was a lot smoother, so it's too bad he's not here to talk about that. So I'm guessing that most benefit is going to be seen on special implementations of Java and maybe lower hardware, you know? But at the same time, I was hoping to see an increase on Mac OS, but no, of course, you know, that's that kind of thing is never going to happen. So I'm still stuck at the very paltry frame rate. Oh, I don't know, maybe 17 frames per second if I'm standing in a bank with two other people.
Huh.
And that's... another. Yeah, I know. It shouldn't be that way. Another thing I noticed, if there are no NPCs, not non-NPCs, I guess if there are player-controlled people on there,
yeah.
The frame rate's fine. It goes all the way up to 30. So, you know, it's kind of interesting in that if there's no other players on the box, it's perfectly fine. So...
have you tried screwing around with the settings just to...
Yes, of course. That's the first thing I've done.
Well, that's... odd.
I've done everything I can to make that thing work better, but... anyways. So, that's pretty much said buffering. I don't really think there's much else to say about this, except... apparently, I didn't see any of these issues, but apparently player-owned hoses were having some issues on the day these first came out of major clipping issues. I'm not sure if they pushed an update to fix that or not, but I didn't see anything today, so who knows?
It was the last time I was in my house was when I was like, what? It was the last time you guys were recording, I guess. Because that's when I got 99 Slayer, and I saw some weird stuff going on in the house. I thought they fixed all that, like, updates and updates and updates ago, but I was still seeing like really weird textures, and it was pretty disturbing. But yeah. Whatever.
Anyways, in other news, aka tweaks and fixes this week, they have added in the wilderness wall. It's no longer the wilderness ditch, which is kind of saddening because, you know, we had a good fun when the ditch first came out, seeing as it was dug by, like, Spades United or whatever. Do you remember that episode way back in the
original days? Yeah. I just remember... I know the name of the episode was based off of the ditch. I can't remember what it was. I just remember that.
Yeah.
Ditch was fun.
Yeah, and apparently this was also... had a bit of an extra benefit in seeing as that for about 2 days or so, it stopped the Green Dragon botters from doing it because they didn't know what to do with the wall.
Well, that's good. Just change the ditch every week or so.
Yeah, you know, like just change a letter or two on it maybe and change the position of it a few squares back and forth, make it random, you know?
If they do what they did, I don't think it was a glitch and it was an Alcaharid or whatever, however you pronounce that, in the desert right by the bank. There's like one square that you cannot go in. So, like, you're walking down, it's just completely empty, but you'll just stop. And if you click there, you don't go there. But if they just put those randomly, like, around the ditch area or trying, like, the normal path to get to Green Dragons, that would stop a lot of the bots. Just have them randomly appear in front of people occasionally, and then, I mean, for a normal person, you just click around it, you're good. I mean,
yeah, but that's also annoying, you know, if you're a normal person. So, I don't know. But.
Yeah, but it's not, like... it's not to the annoying point of having to go in the sleeping bag and...
I wish they would have brought that back.
Yeah, I did it a couple times in RuneScape Classic, but I have not done it since. Like, when they got rid of it, I guess I never got used to it, then I tried it when I did Classic a little bit, and I don't even know if it's there anymore. I don't play that.
Yeah,
so much.
It is if you play. Anyways, moving on. They added in a developer console, and you know it's been kind of funny seeing people on RuneWire. What's this purple thing on my screen for? Yeah, that's what happens when you press the grave/tilde key. It pops up this little console, and it's basically a way Jagex gave you to see your in-game frames per second and what renderer you're using and how much heap memory you're using and whatnot. It also shows how much memory the game is using in total and how much memory of that game storage is being stored in actual RAM and not on the Java heap. So basically, for anybody out there who doesn't know what this means, is the game is going to use a set amount of memory, and a chunk of that memory is going to reside in your physical RAM. And now the other chunk is going to reside on what's called the Java heap. And even though it's not a heap in terms of a data structure, the Java heap is just basically a place where all of the Java data is stored. And it's really quite interesting because, you know, if you right-click a menu in the game, you'll see the memory usage go up a tiny bit progressively, you know what I mean?
Yep, loading everything in.
Yeah, so each time you do, this tells me that each time you right-click a game menu option, you're creating a new instance of that object, and it's being stored in memory. And then after those objects have gone, the Java garbage collector will run, and your memory usage will be reduced. So it's good to know that that's happening. But aside from frames per second, the only other thing that's really useful about this is we know that now RuneScape can actually run on a 56K connection, seeing as most times the maximum I've ever seen it use on mine was 200 bytes per second out, but most times it's no more than 30. And that's bytes per second, not kilobytes per second.
I used to do, it was RuneScape up till 2006, maybe, with a dial-up connection. It works.
Yeah,
then,
so...
Again, that, I mean, I guess if I were to do that now, the main thing would just be to download all the textures and whatnot, and then once it's running, it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that it also shows is it shows how much of the game you have cached in your memory, and if the higher that cache number, of course, the smoother your game experience will be. So
you can, I've seen that on the hard drive somewhere, too. Jagex cache _32, and there's...
Yeah, so...
Bunch of stuff.
Anyways, that's that.
168 meg, really? Jeez.
Yeah, yeah.
Just from RuneScape, that's... Didn't really expect that, but okay. Good
enough. Yeah, over time it adds up, so... moving on. Adjustments to scale capes, we've been there. The loading screen has been reworked to give it a fresh look and a little bit of extra. Okay. Now, yeah, that's good and all, but I can't... My game loads so quick, I can't even see what this... what this text says, you know.
Yeah, I only saw it. That's what I noticed as soon as I started up to check the kingdom and whatnot yesterday. I just saw that in the pictures. They look really good, but
they said this
there for too long.
This has been live for a few weeks, and they were just waiting for the artwork, and they were previously emulating the old mode.
Huh.
So,
well, if it works.
You can now color your clan chat messages. Now, this thing is kind of, once again, if Chief was here, we'd have a good discussion on Jagex's user interface.
Have to basically do it in almost IRC type.
Yeah,
commands.
But, you know, it's the same thing, modal versus, no, not modal, like, this pain to change your clan chat colors is not modal, but there are other things modal that have been added, so I don't know. I just wish they'd be a little bit more consistent with what they're doing for their windowing. So,
different teams working on projects and
have a set of guidelines at least.
Yeah.
Upon entering a dungeon, your bound items have ring of kinship will now be automatically equipped. It should save you a bit of the time at the start of each dungeon.
Indeed.
That's good. You can now examine compost bins to see how full they are, between 0 and 15 items. If you hover over agility shortcuts, you'll now get a tooltip listing the level requirement and the necessary equipment to use it. And finally, elf crystals and the explorer rings and the Falador shield have the order of their options adjusted, which should make them more convenient to use. So yes, if you were, for instance, the old explorer's ring, if you were just to put it on, you wouldn't have to right click and choose where. Now you just click it and it goes on. So that's good, rather than trying to elk something. So.
Mm-hmm. Small tweaks are always nice.
Yes.
Well, they can be occasionally, not always, but in this case, yes.
All right, and I think that's about it for this week's update. So I just want to, next thing on this link I put in the notes is gone from the RuneFest wallpaper. But basically what this is a wall that everybody signed at RuneFest, and they converted it into a wallpaper.
Could be useful.
The RuneFest wallpaper of fame.
Ooh,
you know, I kind of wish I was there to sign this thing, but you know, you can. There's lots of names on here, so.
There's always Photoshop. I was there, of course. How come this official version from the website doesn't have your name? Let me explain that.
You're gonna Photoshop the wall, the RuneFest Wall of Fame?
No, I've got other pictures for my wallpaper. But I guess if I really wanted to make people think I was at RuneFest, I don't know who that would be, but if I needed to somehow convince somebody, I guess I'd open up Photoshop and make it look like I was there.
Yeah.
Or I could have just paid somebody, but anyway, too late to do that now.
Yeah, so you guys can take a look at this and download it for your own use. I don't think I would use it. It's a little too busy for my taste, but that's fine.
Right.
Alrighty. What's next? Oh.
Talk Like a Pirate?
Community events, apparently. I didn't even know it was Talk Like a Pirate weekend this weekend.
I saw it somewhere, and I was... whatever the context was... I didn't want to participate. I have no idea.
No, you know... they say what they'll be doing is they'll be doing Trouble Brewing.
Right.
And they'll also be doing Join the Vampires on a Stalk a Pirate. So they're going to go hunt the Firewatch people on this weekend. I don't know what that has to do with pirates and
is that very
vampires.
Piratey?
No, it's not. So I don't know.
I guess they got the pyre part, right? From Vampire.
So now these grumpy lords of night wish to spoil the pirate party, but which be a pirate or vampire?
I don't know. No.
Yeah, I don't know. And special PvP event, the Conga of Death.
That could actually be very interesting. Be like, follow the person in front of you, and then somehow you're all gonna die.
That's a Conga line, right?
Yeah. I just...
Okay.
I kind of want to know how people are going to die. Because of
yeah,
death.
I don't know.
You can't just have a conga line if it's... I mean, normal conga line, that's kind of dull. But conga line of death. Now that makes dancing interesting.
Yeah, and then get some, like, drummers there or something. And maybe some flame eaters and some flame jugglers. And it would be quite an interesting party, I think.
Indeed.
So... if that's your cup of tea, you guys can go to the one on Sunday, seeing as the show will be coming out on Saturday, and probably you won't be listening to this before the event happens. So, in that case, just ignore half of what we just said.
Right. Learn to listen earlier, people.
Well, no, they can't listen earlier, because this show goes out on Saturday.
I know, but if it goes for Sunday, then and they listen to it Sunday evening or Monday, then... gotta coordinate these weekend events.
Yeah, you know,
podcast is very important to your lives, people. You must listen to it the second it comes out.
Or you could listen to a live version. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Indeed.
But anyways, next up, client submissions page for this month. Basically, this includes a RuneFest summary from a clan's point of view. They also have some responses from various clan people of how they enjoyed RuneFest, And they also got a little picture here of Jagex Clan Cup 2010, and that planning for Clan Cup 2011 is already underway. So
it's good that they're taking clans under their wing.
Yeah, they even. I don't know if this was last week or whenever, but did you listen to the one when we said that in the past they would have that plaque in Lumbridge for the clan winners? So that really does show their dedication to them. But
I never knew it was there till that was mentioned. But I mean, how often do you go to Lumbridge, really?
Every day.
Every day. Oh, because you're farming, I guess. Yes.
Which you have to get 99 in now.
I never said that. I said I'd eventually get it after 99 Slayer. I never said it would happen quickly. It would just happen if I played that long. Which may not happen. Right.
So that's clan.
It's not ruled out. It just hasn't happened. Yeah.
Next up, Undercroft. Did you give this a try?
Undercroft?
Yeah, their new game for iOS.
Oh, no. No, I've, no. Hope, does it require 4.0 or?
No, it doesn't.
That's good. No. I could give
it
a shot.
It is iPod only, unfortunately. Not optimized for the iPad. And, you know, I think it's a waste of an app, to be honest. Because it's not, like, you expect a certain level of interaction with the user interface when you're playing an iPod style game, right? But this game actually has arrow keys that you press to move and rotate your screen.
Oh, that's terrible.
Actually,
that's
just
terrible.
Spinning the screen with your finger or tapping, double tapping, for instance, where you want to go. So, you know, I don't know. I really wouldn't recommend this unless you're really, really, really into RPG games. So,
even having those little thumbs, the joystick type things around the screen, that's like at the limit of this crappy design that I would do. But I mean, tilting, if you do it right, is great. But something that we actually have to push a button on the screen and still be watching other stuff, so you're covering up like part of the screen with your hands as you're trying to do other stuff, it doesn't work out.
Because
it's too hard to do.
There's six buttons. There's rotate left, rotate right, then move forward, move back, move left, and move right. And they're just buttons as you would expect them to be, and you can't do anything special with them. So it's really not that interactive.
Oh, well. They tried.
And, of course, still on the topic of RuneFest here, we got a short little video from Jagex that they put together about the RuneFest experience, I guess. They got things in there like, what was it? They got the Golden Gnome videos, a snapshot of the rewards, or the awards, I mean. They got pictures of the Poison Arrow pub. They got pictures of the lineup. They also got pictures of the drop party they had, and, of course, the insider session, so you guys can take a look at RuneFest condensed into about 2 minutes. Or, if you want a somewhat more first-hand perspective, you can go back and listen to episode 272, I believe it was, when we interviewed Merciful, who went to RuneFest, and he actually provided us with some pictures of it, and you guys can find those at update.rspnb.com.
Yep, it's worth the look and listen if you haven't already. It's good stuff.
So would you go? We never talked. You and I never talked about this, but would you went if you were in England?
If I were in England, maybe, but not over here. It's not worth the 12-hour flight or something like that.
Plus, it's only nine.
Only nine? Only nine. 9-hour flight plus, and that would be probably around $1,000 to $2,000 plus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I'd rather get a very nice gaming rig for that or not spend the money at all. But if I were in England, it was, a hundred or so?
£150 or so. But they refunded everyone, so.
Refund's always nice. If it were 150 or so, well, I guess it's not one-to-one. But say it was like $200, it'd still be kind of a toss-up. Like, if it were $50 or lower, that would be like a pretty much instant, but that's kind of expensive.
Would you have dressed up?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't have anything to dress up with. And even if I did, I don't know
what,
if I
what
would.
Do you wear when you slay?
In the game?
Yes, of course. Unless you slay, like, in your backyard.
Well, I don't know. I thought, like, what do you wear when you play RuneScape? Because that could be
no,
very...
No. Like, I mean, in-game, what do you wear?
Usually Bando's chest plate, dragon legs. Used to be Serum and Godsword, but I sold that, so it's been Whip and Dragonfire Shield plus the
See?
Mask.
See? You could have joined that other guy who made a Bando's costume, and you could have both won your Bando's gear.
I don't want to wear a skirt. But no.
Why
just,
not?
You can call it a kill. I don't care. It's a skirt. No.
Well, so far you're the one that has given the most positive response to actually going to RuneFest, so maybe you can be our correspondent next year. Anyways, moving on to the poll right now. Watching and playing. This poll was sponsored by Warner Brothers, I believe.
Buena Vista.
Right. I always get confused. But.
That explains quite a bit, actually, given the poll. Anyway.
So, first question.
First things first. I know I do, but do you like to watch stuff while playing RuneScape? Sometimes, if there's something I want to watch, I'm not going to miss it. Always, watching TV and playing RuneScape goes together like fish and chips, peanut butter and jelly, noobs and free stoof. Rarely. The TV might be in the background, but I'm more concerned with the game. Never. I focus on the game, the whole game, and nothing but the game. Or none of the options given. And the number one on that is sometimes, if there's something I want to watch, not going to miss it, with 34%.
Yeah, I said sometimes as well. So
yeah, I usually watch stuff from Revision 3 or something like that. Usually okay. Online type stuff.
Question two. Even if you don't usually watch stuff while you play, do you favor a particular genre of show/movie? Oh, of course, this is going to be in first. 32% say comedy. It's all about the lulls. I don't like comedy.
Comedy's good stuff.
Second is action.
Yeah. Action's also good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, if you want to watch a lot of explosions with a semi-mediocre storyline, go with The Expendables.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... I watched that. That was very explodey.
Okay.
And very bad CG. I mean, seriously, It was really bad.
Animation/anime? What's his power level? It's over 9,000. That's impossible. 15%. I don't have that soundboard up. Oh, well. Fantasy. Mages, rangers, warriors, dragons, goblins, and orcs. You have my bow and my axe. 11%. Sci-fi.
You have my
I'm
bow.
Afraid...
And my axe. Yeah, it's Lord
I'm
of the
afraid
Rings.
I can't
stuff.
Let you vote for that, Dave. What does that mean? I can't let you vote
it's
for that.
From, it's from, that movie, it's HAL, something with HAL 9000.
Oh, okay.
It's,
never seen
it's,
it.
It's everyone out to the Space Odyssey saga.
Then none of the options given at 7%. Documentary, because IRL is important, to be honest. TBH at 5%. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, I like documentaries, some of them. Anyway.
Yeah. Last good documentary I think I watched was called Bush's War on PBS. Then the sequel, Obama's War.
Last one I watched was something to do with the oil wells in America. And it was the thing that got me that it had people like going to their faucets and then holding a lighter there and then opening the faucet sink and it would or opening the faucet and it would just start pouring out fire.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
not good.
That's silly. That shouldn't be happening.
Of course, that's the whole point of the movie. That should not be happening. They weren't allowed to. Their water line, they hadn't been using it for the last couple of years at this point.
Oh, well, that's why. Okay.
It was something that was like Gasland America or – doesn't have that built in.
Well, you're Gasland. Looking that up.
Gasland. Go with I'm Google say Instance.
That 2% say martial arts. Love those flying kicks.
Sure you do.
1% soap / ongoing drama. Will so-and-so marry so-and-so, and will the dark horse ruin the day? And unsurprisingly, 1% romance. I love to love. Do you love to love, Paul?
Loving's not bad, but I don't watch romances. That's... no.
No?
Not if I can avoid it.
Okay. Yep. Alrighty.
Question 3. Which of the following methods do you use to acquire your film series? Select all that apply, so we're not going to get 100% on this one. Number 1 is I buy them in a shop. Can't beat the instant retail therapy feeling with 36%. I stream them. Why clutter the media? Why clutter my media center when my connection is fast enough to stream? With 28, I download them. Physical media is so last entry, dude. I totally agree with that. That's 23%. I rent them from stores. None of the options given. I still buy them online. I rent them online. Or, like I said, I'm not into watching TV-related entertainment.
Right. For me, it is mostly if it's something I like, going to be bought. Otherwise, if it's a movie, it's just going to be rented. I think when the time comes here, I'm not sure. I know certain people in my family are enthused about the Apple TV, seeing as it would actually, we don't have any of the other options that you people in the U.S. have. So streaming might become a third option for me. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. But what about you?
It's... well, for stuff I watch, it's pretty much entirely streaming one way or another. Or, well, it's either streaming from, like, Hulu or whatever site has the stuff. Like, Comedy Central stuff is no longer on Hulu, so, oh well. Or I download it somewhere, or on the rare occasion
somewhere,
I'll actually...
right?
Somewhere. Oh, I pay for the cable here, so what the hey. It's like DVR, except not. Yeah, speaking of which, HD content from Comcast looks just like normal content from Comcast. And I thought it was because we were going over component cable. So I got an HDMI cable plugged in, still look like the same. So I don't know if anyone else has experience, but HD content, Comcast, not a good combination. Just random note there. Looks
okay.
It's really compressed. It's crap.
Yeah, I believe you sometimes with that.
Yep. Right.
Like, sometimes the HD signal that's coming through the TV is just bad. You know, I think out of the 3 U.S. networks, I think that NBC has the best HD picture for me in terms of compression artifacts. CBS would have to be the
CBS
worst.
CBS and ABC being the 3 here. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, ours comes from Seattle, so...
yeah, okay.
What they are. But anyways, question 4. How many films, TV series do you have on DVD or Blu-ray? Too many to count, say 23, more than 30, 15%, under 5, 14%, 6 to 10, 11%, not sure, 10%, none, 10%, 11 to 15, 7%, 16 to 25%, 21 to 25, 3%, and 26 to 32%. So, I said more than 30, because I can see the DVD shelf from here, and there's 3 shelves, and each has at least 20 DVDs on it, so.
Yeah, I think I put, like, under 5, because I just read the series part, and I was just thinking TV.
Oh, okay.
But if we're talking, like, movies as well, it's in the hundreds, if not low thousands, because my dad will go, because we have a cabin and we don't have good internet. We don't have any internet, and we also don't have good TV signal. So
I thought you were going to say you don't have plumbing.
No. We did that soon after we bought the place. We had to replumb and then put electricity. Didn't have electricity, so we just had propane lamps, and neither here nor there. But yeah, so he'll buy lots of DVDs, as in, like, he'll go on eBay, and he'll buy a lot, as in a box of just DVDs. And so we've got between 500 and 1,000 DVDs, maybe a little bit more than that, up at the cabin, like, just crazy amount of them. Some are repeats, but so if I would have seen the film part of that, I would have added too many to count, because I have no idea how many.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyways, I own all four Star Trek series on DVD.
Of course.
And all 24.
Didn't expect that.
Question 5. How many film series do you have downloaded? None. 41%. I wonder how many of those are saying none, as in the honest download, you know?
I don't know. That seems a little high to me. But,
Under 5, 23%. Too many to count, 10%. Not sure, 9%. 6 to 10, 7%. More than 30, 4%. 11, 15, 3%. 16 to 22%, and 21 to 25, 1% as well. So, yes. I don't know.
Indeed.
I don't think we're reading much into that one, but anyways, last one.
How many films or series do you intend to buy over the next 6 months? Can be disc and or digital. I don't plan to buy these things. Let's see how it goes. Or I don't plan these things. Let's see how it goes. That was with 30%, followed by under 5 with 26, none with 14, and 6 to 10, 11, and down from there. But more than 30 is only at 4%. So, sorry. Yeah, I keep playing with that chord. Probably should not do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't plan these things, I said, but that's what I said on mine, so...
Yeah, you never know. If a great movie comes out and you like it in theaters, or you hear great reviews, then not likely.
No,
I guess
not
the next Star Wars movie is coming out in 2012.
What?
Next Star Trek movie is coming out in 2012.
That's it. We're done. We're moving on. Questions now. Thanks. We got an audio question this week. First one, the only audio question, is from Indy Drew.
Yeah, I understand the update. I probably don't sound the best because I got a cold or something, but does any of you like Indiana Jones, and what's your guys' favorite free-to-play team cape? Keep up the good work, Indy Drew. Out.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm an Indiana Jones fan, so...
No, I haven't even seen the old videos. I know I know I've seen one of the old films. I cannot remember which one it was. It may have only been part of it. I know I should see these, and I just recently got around to seeing Back to the Future series.
I saw one of them.
Yeah, my roommate sat me down with, I think, his girlfriend, and we all three watched the first one. And then I just hadn't watched the other two, so I did that recently. And I should probably go back and watch the classic Indiana Jones stuff, but I have not done that as of yet. Though I have seen the most recent one, and that was terrible. But
okay, favorite team cape for you, Paul?
It's a blue one, I think. I don't know. I haven't worn one in many years.
Yeah, same here. So, but.
It's blue, and I think it was easy to obtain, so it was probably low-level wilderness, but I cannot guarantee that. I just don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to have to say probably, let's see, Team 39, the green one, so. Did you hear that?
Really? Huh?
Did you hear that?
What was it? What type of sound?
It was like a siren running around outside for something.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Merchant 6, the blue one from there, I think it is. Or maybe Neil Merchant 7. Because it looked kind of like a Legends cape before I could get a Legends cape. So that's how long ago I used to wear a Wilderness cape, just for perspective. long time ago.
We, back in the old days, for one of our PvP events, we tried the team capes, but we felt that they didn't really have any purpose for us, so we never used them again. So that's really my only experience with team capes. So,
well, Clan Chat kind of replaces that entirely.
Yeah,
other than
that's true, you know?
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, if you, you can, I guess the capes still prevent clicking on people that are your, in your clan, but other than that, the benefits are moot, and the chances that you're going to be going somewhere where you have to do that much team killing, you're probably going to have a better plan than that. Yeah.
Alrighty. You take the next one. And just remember, right. You're not chief, you're Paul, so.
Sure. Hey, Paul and Shane. CLS or Rapier? I am hoping to get one in the near future and still can't decide. Smiley face. I also thought on a Chief Brad 1.0 show. I think it's a good idea. Best of luck, Lucy. Or Lucky. Lucky. Not Lucy. Right.
Rapier for me, if I had to pick one.
People keep asking me if I want to get a CLS, and then I keep having to ask what a CLS stands for.
You don't know?
Well, it's that stupid minigame dungeoneering. I don't even know what's going on with that stuff. So let's go with the one that's the cheapest, because that would mean I have to play the game the least amount of time.
I think they're about the same.
Then the whatever. If it's one token less, that's the one I'm going to pick.
Because I remember somebody at one point said that the rapier is like a god sword on a stick.
They keep asking me CLS because they say it's like a one-handed god sword, which does sound nice.
Okay.
But
That's
I don't have that type of ambition, so I'm not anymore. So
let us see. Dungeoneering rewards. Let's see. Chaotic weapons. The chaotic rapier has 94 stab, 78 slash, and 101 strength bonus.
That's
good. The chaotic longsword has 107 stab, 124 slash, and 120 strength bonus.
So that would be the one to get, I suppose. But and they last, chaotic, what, like 15 hours or something?
Yeah, and then you have to... Or 10 hours in combat, so...
And then you have to recharge them, which is like...
Yeah, either with tokens or pay the 2 million GP. But if you're
if you're you can a combat pay? That's
type,
not terrible.
Yeah, you're going to have that kind of money lying around, so why not?
Oh, right? I did not know that. That makes it a lot better. A lot more reasonable. But if you ever lose that, that would just be horrendous.
Yeah, you'll be crying.
I wouldn't be crying, I'd just be pissed. But I'm sure I've seen videos on YouTube. Some players on RuneScape would be crying. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, the second one. No. Chief Brad 1.0 show. We had one of those back in June. Don't hold your breath. But the nearest time for that would probably be around Christmas time. But don't hold your breath, as I say. I'm not making any promises.
It's never good to be blue in the face.
What?
It's never good to be blue in the face.
Oh, okay,
I
get it.
Hold your breath. Yes. Joke kind of missed it, but I'll try later.
Okay.
Right.
Dear Unclean Paul and Ruthless Shane, do you
think
Crash has a
graphics update? Oh, come on. Peacekeeping unclean?
Well, no. Yeah. You're not peacekeeping.
But I'm not unclean.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm definitely not unclean.
Yes, you are.
I am definitely not.
Do you think Prayer should have a graphics update?
What would you update?
I don't know.
For graphics?
I'm not exactly
sure
on that.
You could update my cape if you wanted to, but I don't know if I'll be wearing it anymore. Ooh. I don't know what exactly you'd update.
I don't know. Maybe the icons above the head or the action of performing the...
Well, they updated those fairly recently, didn't they? Like
yeah,
when they
that's
did
true.
The curses or whatever they were.
Yeah, so, or they could also maybe just. But even then, burying the bones, that's improved a lot since RuneScape 2 first came out. So I'm not exactly sure what we would do with this. But anyways, next part of this. Also, if you were forced to watch pornography, and if you didn't, everyone in your family would be brutally killed, would you? From Coil 163. Paul?
Sure. If people in my family are going to die and I had to watch porn, why the hell not?
See, the very way he answers this is why he is unclean.
Okay, so you're going to let your family die just to not watch porn.
Well, no, no, no. I'm just saying that.
Then why are you making fun of me? That's like, it's like a no-brainer type of question.
Well, yeah, of course it's a no-brainer, but I'm just saying that's why I gave you that title.
Double standards, man. Double standards.
Sometimes double standards have to stay in effect. Thank you, Coyle.
Indeed.
Next one.
Hello again, entertaining talkers in my background. I have three questions this week. One, how long do you think it will take me to get 99 from 85 agility? In hours, please. The school is providing me with a social life, crippling amount of homework, and I still need to have time to talk and hang out with friends. I want to take these as we go along.
Yeah.
I think you'd be the one to answer this one.
Yeah, I'm going to be the one to answer this one, but I just got to find out. He's level 85 right now?
Level 85 now, and he needs to get to 99. Okay. So in hours, if possible.
Yes, yes. That's about 2.5 million. No, I forget what the experience level is.
It's like 3.2
million.
8. No, because 91 is sick. It's only halfway there.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go from 3.2 million and say you need to gain...
Never mind, yep.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that to get level 99, you need to gain 9.8 million XP. And now it should be noted that around at that level, at level 85, you are going to be able to do the gnome course, but you're not going to fail and stop failing until around level 88, so some summer pies might be warranted. But once you get to level 88, it's smooth sailing. So let's just say you're at you need to gain 9.8 million XP, and it is roughly, say, 58K per hour. If you're focusing maybe a little bit less. So let's just, that comes out to maybe 196 hours. So let's just go, say 196 if you're focusing. And if you're not, say, let's just go anywhere between 200 and 210, just for fun. So,
holy, that, it gets, I know, that low experience?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, 50K is like a conservative estimate. I've known people who've got 60K an hour, but you really have to be focusing on that. You have to be just doing agility and agility alone. So, like, it's possible to get more than 50K.
That was like over 1K per run, and that you could do one run in that just under a minute.
Well, I know that it's 55K average. Like I was saying, that's really
okay, well,
a conservative estimate. So,
have fun getting 99, sir.
I got 99.
Not you. This other person need a skill cape. Who needs a skill cape?
Yeah. That's a good name for this kind of task, eh?
Yeah. Well, he wants to get a 99, in which case he can say have a skill cape instead of need a skill cape, because he will have a skill cape. Be the same
number two?
Letters and everything. Number two, have you ever texted or contacted someone another way that you met in game? I personally have been contacted a good friend I have been talking to for months. But it was a while after she quit. In that time, she became a very, very creepy person. I'll give her phone number to anyone who will flame her. Kidding. PM me in game. Ooh, that's not.
Don't
bad.
Say his name. I'll let that out just for fun. Yeah, that's not nice.
No, that's don't. You can actually get in legal trouble for doing that. So I would strongly suggest you don't.
Yes.
Give someone else's phone number out in order to flame her. That's. No, you can get fined and stuff. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
And no, I have not done this for in game. That's just...
Okay.
I either meet people in real life and then go in game or... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I really haven't done this much myself, but in the past I have texted Chief once, but... See, I was gonna try and find him by that method, but I don't have his new phone number right now, so I couldn't have texted him before we got started today. So he's still missing. I'm kind of concerned, actually. But anyways,
have there been any recent earthquakes in New Zealand?
Not in his region. No.
All right, that's plus.
But there is possibly something else, but I'm not gonna say because that would. He would be very easy to find. But anyways, next one.
How often do you use the forums? In my 111 levels, I've never once looked at the forums for reasons other than the pest control quest pages and was confused by them then. Thanks for keeping me entertained on my journey to 99 and the best skill in the game. We all played Call of RuneScape. from Nita Skillcape, which we already said. The RuneScape forums, I rarely use that. Find something like RSVNB a little bit more personable and friendly.
Yeah, you know, I haven't used the forums since like the Grand Exchange came out. I used to use them once in a blue moon for marketing stuff, but not anymore. So,
yep. Yeah, GE changed everything. That's the largest change that... Well, GE and Wilderness Going Away are probably the two largest changes since RuneScape 2 came out in my book. But, at any rate, well, he has a PS, and it's 4-chief, and he's asking what is his agility level now, and he doesn't like using the high scores, but since Chief isn't here, I'd suggest you use the high scores. Remember, there's two underscores between
his agility level is 90.
Oh, there you go. And PSS, I was nervous when I asked my first question and forgot to say the name of the band my cousin is in called Searchlight, not to be confused with Searchlight On Demand. That I think is ironically by Comcast. Thank you for reading my question, and if you don't, you will never have been thanked. Have a nice day. Once again, that's from Nita Skillcape.
Alrighty. Dear hosts, what do you do if you have a bad partner for a school project? My partner right now barely does any work and takes the project as a joke. Any advice? Thank you, Penn State 315.
So, that, it's interesting. If you have a bad partner for a school project, and it's even better if you know you're not going to have to deal with them at all throughout the rest of the school year, but since the school year is just beginning, I kind of doubt this, but you can just report their ass. Just tell the teacher and get a new partner, or at minimum, make sure your grade is far higher than this person's, because if you're doing all the work, you should get all the credit.
Credit. You know, but then that also brings up the question, you have to make sure the teacher's on the ball too, because I had a project kind of like this where it was a senior level computer science course and two of the people could not code to save their lives. So and we were supposed to do evaluations of the other group members at the end, but then it never happened, so everybody got the same grade because of the application that I wrote. So
that's kind of not good. Teacher didn't
it completely slipped his mind, but I'll tell you more about that later, because I could have done some other things as well, but plausible deniability has to be
okay then. That's always good. Next question, I suppose.
Do what Paul said. Yes.
Yeah, I read it. Seriously, if you got somebody who you can't work with, or you're doing all the work, get rid of them if possible, or at least get the teacher knowing that you're doing the entire bit of work, because it is possible that they're going to work and do it badly just to spite you. It'd be better than nothing. Dear Shane and Paul, of course not, Chief. What are both of your least favorite quests you've ever done? Maybe you're frustrated with a puzzle or confused with what you had to do, or maybe you just hated the storyline of the quest. Which quest would you choose? And also, if Jagex contacted you guys and wanted to know if either of you wanted to come work for them, would you? You just like concepts for new skills, or you just do the concepts for the new skills, quests, locations, and enemies. Good pay, but yes, you'd have to move to England. Anyway, keep up the Muy Fantastico show, Monkey 2306. 2306. Sorry, I read that after the fact. Right.
Not really. I don't think I have a hated quest.
The only quest I can remember hating is One Small Favor.
Okay, that one.
I did it. Yeah, I did it after Mahogany or Teak, whatever the heck came out. So it was like, you want this handle for a mithril axe? Well, I can make a mithril axe. I can just go chop down that wood over there and make you a freaking handle. Quest done. But no, I had to go through the entire thing. But that's the one I remember doing that I just was like, seriously? but I still have a couple left to do that I'm sure will be very fun if I ever get around to doing them, which I really should.
Okay.
And would you move to England and work for Jagex with good pay?
I wouldn't. If I was doing content stuff, I don't know, probably not. I don't particularly like writing and coming up with story ideas, so not for that. I'd much rather work on something on the back end, like the game engine, or I don't know, something like that, or maybe web systems or something, you know? So
I don't know. I guess I wouldn't mind, but I'm not a huge fan of moving to England. Just because...
No, you know, I don't think I would want to move there.
You know, they drive on the wrong side of the road over there. Their cats, they call them Mogs. They don't know which...
What?
They call their cats Mogs. M-O-G-S.
Okay,
and then,
then.
And then they've got the... Oh, there was something else I was going to say. And you have to say, like,
alrighty,
bollocks all the time and... Bloody
okay
and,
then. Yes, no. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Moving on. Thank you, Monkey2306. Dear Shane and Paul, I have somewhat of a problem. I have a drive to play RuneScape, but when I get on, I get bored 5 seconds later. Any idea of what I should do? I'm thinking of some questing. That's from Schoolboy. Well, you know, this kind of depends, once again, on your perspective of the game. You have to find something that you can feel passionate in and that you enjoy, because if you don't, then you're not going to do it. Just like, I see no reason right now to get anything past 90 fishing, because, well, I don't like fishing as a skill, but if I needed rocktails, I could just go buy them at the GE. So find something you like doing and just own that and master it, like I did with farming. So
yep.
What do you have to say on this?
I've been kind of in the same boat now and previously for the last like year and a half or so, and like I get some bouts like once a month or something. I'll play for like a week or something or a couple days, and the best thing I could suggest doing is finding something else that you can do to entertain yourself while doing something on RuneScape. But if you can't, then take some time off. You might come back and have some fun. You think about questing, and questing is usually good. And if you haven't gotten some of the key ones down, not that I can list those off the top of my head, but I'd take a look at doing some of them. I don't know which ones you've done or not, so it's kind of pointless to list off long lists.
Yeah.
Not that I would know them anyway. But anyway, I really should do more questing. I haven't done one in a long time.
Yeah, you should. Okay.
Yep. Dear
next one.
Oh wait.
Yes,
yours?
You can take it.
Oh, okay. Dear hosts of the show, do you think that the quest The Tourist Trap was in some way referencing concentration camps? I was discussing this with some people today and would enjoy your input on the matter. Stay frosty, Steemo.
What?
I don't remember the wasn't the tourist trap.
That was the one in the desert.
In the desert, and then you have to go to the mining camp. Concentration camps, you're not really a tourist. You was more, you were a Jew, and then you got sent somewhere. At least that's what I think of when I think of concentration camps.
Yeah.
I don't particularly think of that being a touristy type of thing. It's just kind of like wrong type of person in the wrong place.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't go as far as saying that, because I don't. I remember doing this quest, and it didn't seem like that. Like, you weren't being persecuted or anything, you know? Like,
I'd call it slavery.
Yeah.
Or indentured servitude,
not,
type of stuff, but not...
But not racially persecuted, you know?
No.
But I don't know. I don't think so. I'm going to have to say no, because as you said, right, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. So...
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say no on that. But maybe we could have had a better argument about this if you would have, Steemo, if you would have sent in some of your reasoning towards this. But no, I don't think so. We done with that one?
Yep.
Okay. You can read this first text story, because my voice is going at this point in time.
Right. Sorry, I was just swapping batteries because I don't know what percentage this is at. Tech news. Google engineer fired for accessing teens' Gmail chat logs. Google this week has confirmed that it fired an engineer who accessed the Gmail and Google Voice accounts of several minors and taunted those children with the information he uncovered. David Barksdale worked in Google's Kirkland, Washington office as a site reliability engineer, where he had access to user accounts. As first reported by Gawker, Barksdale accessed the Gmail and Google Voice accounts of several teenagers he met through a local technology group and then made them aware of the data he uncovered. We dismissed David Barksdale for breaking... Hey, it's a deadly guy. You get all that information. For breaking Google's strict internal privacy policies, Bill Kufran, senior vice president of engineering at Google, said in a statement, "We carefully control the number of employees who have access to our systems, and we regularly upgrade our security controls. For example, we are significantly increasing the amount of time we spend auditing our logs to ensure these controls are effective. That said, a limited number of people we'll always need access to these type of systems if we were to operate them properly, which is why we take any breach so seriously." And then more in an article from PC Mag.
Is that concerning to you, being a Gmail user and all? Or
I love my Google, and it's concerning, but I see in his statement, you know, people do have access to this. It's kind of hard to control. You can control it, but someone's always going to have access, whether you want them to or not.
Even if you used an ISP-based one or ran your own web servers, you know?
Yeah, so, it's too unpredictable.
Personally, I don't discuss anything that is of high security value over email or IM, unless I know it's a really secure connection. But I reserve those kind of conversations for real life.
Yeah. Tends to be a good place.
In my Gmail right now, there's nothing in here that would be remotely compromising. Well, at least I don't think so. I haven't looked. I got stuff going back all the way to 2004, so I don't know.
Me too, but I think. Yeah, the only thing that would be compromising, I guess, would be passwords that get sent from creating accounts. From the few sites that still send you
passwords.
But
even they shouldn't do that.
Stuff.
Yeah, they shouldn't be doing that.
No, most sites don't do it anymore. I don't think a Google employee would necessarily, or any employee of a, maybe a small ISP, but that's kind of far-fetched anyway, but would go into your email account or whatever account and get your account info for some random other service. It's just not very likely, and I'm not too concerned by it. I know it doesn't say in the brief thing I read, but they did not find any sexual misconduct. Just throwing that out there.
So what's your password then?
Password to
Gmail.
I don't know. I had LastPass create it. I have no idea.
Nice. You don't even know what your password is.
I know what my LastPass password is. That's really all that matters.
I don't know. I don't like using services when I don't have to. But anyways, moving on. Internet Explorer 9 beta has been released. Let's just say you might want to have a look at this, but I wouldn't use it as a full-on browser, and I'm still very pessimistic that we'll be able to actually not have to worry about people using IE9 actually comes out. So, but from what I did see, it is implementing some CSS3 stuff. For instance, the shadows, but they perform very poorly. I don't know why. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. Have you tried it?
I have not installed the beta yet. I still have one of the platform previews installed, and it uninstalled my IE8 somewhat. So
yeah, I don't like it for school, that you can't have both.
Yeah, I don't know why the heck they have to. I mean, it's still there. If you like, I can search for Internet Explorer, and it'll pull up Internet Explorer, no add-ons. So I say open file location, and then just the iExplorer.exe launches. It's like this convoluted workaround, but I don't know why it had to be removed / just unable to be used normally anyway. But
yeah.
anyway, it's looking good, I guess, but I'm not going to switch back. I think it's good for the people who are still on Internet Explorer, but
I would switch back if they I don't think they're going to do this, but if they adopted something like WebKit, you know? Like leave IE8 as it is right now and just give it maintenance releases and stuff for the businesses and whatnot. But for the consumers, give them an IE9 based on WebKit or something, you know? Something that's actually different and that they can focus on branding Microsoft rather than having to develop a whole engine, you know? At least that's what I think. But
yeah, they're one of the so the top three browsers or the top four or whatever are Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Firefox has Gecko, Internet Explorer has like Triton or something like that.
Triton.
And then the next two are Chrome and Safari, both with a WebKit based, and then Opera has their own thing, and then pretty much everything else is either based on Gecko because it's some
WebKit or
random
Gecko
thing or WebKit. Yeah.
Then back in the old days, there were actually browsers that you'd find that would be based on the Triton engine because they could be made in Visual C++ or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's that. We don't recommend you using it as a full replacement IE at this time. So
still recommending Firefox, Chrome, both?
I don't know. It depends, I think. I forget why I switched from Firefox to Chrome.
Speed is, like, great. I've been using Firefox a lot lately because LastPass keeps screwing up in Chrome. So
okay.
Don't know what that's doing, but
our last story of the week is something called YouTube Instant, which was made by a random, seemingly random person, and now he's got a job at Google. He received a job interview from YouTube CEO over at Twitter, and he was unsure if it was real, and he got an email with a booked interview, so he's probably going to be working at Google now.
Yep.
This is YouTube Instant, so let's just search for something RuneScape. R. First result is Rihanna. What's that? Are you Rude Boy by Rude Boy Rihanna? Let's go run. Whoa. RuneScape.
I'm BumBum 007.
Yeah, so you guys get the idea, I think.
It's pretty good. Aww.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. I just had to do that to you.
Well, I'd say the game to you, but I'm sure you don't play the game. And we don't need to talk about the game, but the game.
All right, that's it for tech news, everybody. Thank you once again. We're going to move on now to some other things. So, first up is RSBNB September events.
Yes.
Which include Dungeoneering Races, Boss Takedown, back on a bi-weekly schedule, Last Man Standing Hide and Seek, which is kind of hide and seek put on its head, and Conquest, of course, which is in use of the Conquest minigame. So you can find more about these at forums.rsmb.com. These are all happening next weekend, so plan your weekend accordingly and be sure to attend one of these events, or three, or four.
And
we would really like
about
it if you
PC
would come
gaming
to these events.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you got to throw that in because that's your weekly event.
And
so going strong.
Looks like GoldenEye Source did win with four.
Oh, good.
And the other have three, so GoldenEye Source will be Monday. So if you're listening to this before Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, other times listed in the topic, please come and join us at GoldenEye Source.
And the server IP 209.160.21.177, just search for that in GoldenEye Source, and you should find the server. So,
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you at those. Next up, Skill of the Month update, please. Oh, screw it. Forget it. It's still the same as last week. Forget it.
Well, yeah, it's literally the exact same. Oh, wait. Looks like Rice A got a slight bit of experience yesterday.
And Owen replaced Colin as number three. So.
Yep. Other than that, everybody has said screw it. So, Brian looks like you're gonna win, unless Rice really wants to bring it out. But I'm kind of doubting it at this point.
Yeah. So. Come on, train summoning. Give us something to talk about in this segment.
If you want to have your name read as number three, all you have to do is beat Colin, or Owen, and he gained 500,000. So if you can get like 600,000 by next week, you're probably going to get mentioned on the show. Just saying, people. And again, yes. You have to be the number, at least 22 people who are enrolled.
Yeah, has everybody? No, people still haven't even got XP. Okay. I just had to check that. You know, I think this was my happiest summer project so far. This RuneWire. That's coming. But this Skill of the Month front-end thing, I really like it compared to the old one.
Yeah, it's vastly improved. It's good stuff. It's kind of awesome. It's a lot more involved. Or it's not more involved. It's has more statistics a little bit. And I don't know. It's a nice upgrade.
Yeah. So, rhbmb.com/SKOTM.
I'd seriously recommend getting Tilt to Live.
Okay.
I don't know if they have a trial, but it's so Tilt to Live. I assume it'd be better on a larger surface, like the iPad versus my iPod.
Yeah.
So you are you're like a pointer, and you just tilt your device around. And you have to avoid the red dots. And there'll be power-ups that show up on your screen. So there are many different power-ups, such as a shield, which will protect you until you hit something, in which case the shield will explode, do a little damage to other people, but not to you. Or a ice thing will turn everything around it into ice. Or an explosion, or this saw blade thing that causes saw blades to show up all around you, and you can plow down anything. It's amazing. But as soon as you slightly touch something red, you die. It's fun. And
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Paul will put his link to Tilt to Live in the wiki. So Paul, you've had a fairly eventful week, I understand, starting last week when Chief and I were doing the show.
Yeah, it kind of didn't work out so great time-wise for that. But yeah, so I finally, after saying I'm going to get 99 Slayer, I actually got 99 Slayer. So I thought I would get it in 2008, didn't do it. Thought I would get it in 2009, didn't do it. So finally been like 200K away for like the last 3 or 4 months and got like 100K in a day and a half and then did the rest of it. So all done.
Yay, now you have to get 99 and, farming.
Maybe. Ish. Yep. Okay. So if someone wants to somehow get me 99, or get, like, help me get to 99, like, not get on my account, because I don't do that type of stuff, but, like, Shane said there might be a picture involved if I get 99 before a certain date, so just saying, people, I have to do it, but you guys can help. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that.
You didn't think I would do it, did you?
No, I didn't. And I didn't think you'd make it public, either.
Oh, well, nah. Oh, there's no stipulation in this non-contract that says I can't share it with people. Although I guess it mostly is implied, it just isn't verbally.
Alrighty, then. Anything else you want to share?
Real life is school. So that's not so cool. The traffic is terrible. I hate traffic.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Took me forever to get out. It took me an hour to get home today. That's more than double what it usually does. So.
Yeah.
What's been happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, you can really tell about it. Seemingly bad cold this week. So that was that. School, of course, back in. What else? I got 96 magic heading towards 97. 130 odd K away, so that should be tonight. Why?
Because I think I have 96 right now.
Oh, okay. I'm stringing jewelry.
Get 99, but, I would be doing, I don't know, combat maybe. Yeah,
see, I decided to go with that because after bonus XP weekend, the price of the Astral Runes and the Gold Amulets really dropped, so it was beneficial to me, so I decided to go for it. So
that's a good point.
As for after that, I'm really not too sure. I have to think about that. So, aside from that, still working on the RuneWire and a few other little things around the site here and there, but that's about it. So I think we're done unless you have anything else.
Nope. That's good.
Okay then. It's been RSBNB Update episode 274 with Paul, PFK99, SilverWiz9, Wizzy, who got married once upon a time.
Yeah.
So we'll see you guys all next week.
All good stuff. Yep.
And Chief Snake should be here next week, hopefully.
Yes.
So.
Indeed.
Goodbye, everyone.